It is my pleasure to introduce to all of our listeners on the Kuvo airwaves, Dave Kikoski, a talented pianist, composer, educator, and just one of my favorite pianists, I have to say. I have to admit, I'm a big fan. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's nice to be here.
We're just going to kind of go back, but we won't stay back there too long. So your father started you on piano lessons when you were six.
That's correct.
Your father was a multi-instrumentalist. Was he a professional musician?
No, he was a part-time musician. My father was a mailman.
Wow. But he loved music.
He loved music, and he taught music. He had some students, and he also had like one gig on Saturday nights. Pretty much every week he would have a Saturday night gig at, doing parties and weddings and bar mitzvahs and that kind of a thing. But he liked jazz.
And his passion rubbed off on you, obviously.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Tell me a little about who were some of your instructors at the Berklee College of Music?
Oh, well, my piano teacher, he also taught Keith Jarrett, and Keith rates him highly in his book, so I was kind of happy to see that. Ray Santisi was my jazz piano teacher, and he had a wonderful concept. I took some classical lessons. I found a classical teacher there.
I want to mention, so I noticed reading your bio that you were a big fan. You were playing rock and roll as well.
Sure.
And, you know, never felt like you had to be pigeonholed into any kind of music, but rock and roll was in your love. So
sure.
You were a Steely Dan fan then?
Well, no, I wasn't. I like some of their songs on the radio, but at the time, I think Asia was a big, which everyone knows that record. So I heard that on the radio. But when I was playing with Randy Brecker in California, and Walter Becker happened to be there, he liked my playing, and I did a record for Triloca, and he produced that. And I remember I was doing interviews, and they kept saying, You must have been the biggest Steely Dan fan in the world. And I said, actually, I don't have any of their records. And they said, oh, good quote for the magazine. So.
Right, right.
But they're
cool.
Great. I just wasn't into them that much at the time.
Yeah. Tell me about making Sure Thing happen as far as,
right.
Doing a duo CD.
Well, the relationship with Boris goes back to... originally from the Mingus Big Band, which we just did a gig recently in New York. So a little while before the pandemic, we went to a friend's house. He has like a great piano and a little studio in his place. And basically Boris said, oh, we have free studio time. I want to go play some duo. So since Boris plays with my quartet and my trios fairly often, he knows a lot of my music. So we decided, let's do some of those same songs, but in a duo fashion. And we didn't know it was going to come out as a record. So when the pandemic hit, I talked to the people at High Note Records and I said, well, I actually have something in the can that you might want to check out. And they loved it. So here it is. They put it out now. So.
Yeah. We're going to go to play a song by Keith Emerson, Fugue from the Endless Enigma. Will you set this up for us?
Oh, sure. I was playing jazz. I was studying jazz, but I was also in rock bands with some of my cousin and then some of the people in Central Jersey area. And most of the bands were, guitar bands. And then I got into progressive rock because there was a lot of keyboard, and one of my favorite groups was Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
So... I always liked the record Trilogy, and I always said to myself, someday I'm going to record this.
And Boris Kozlov, Fugue from the Endless Enigma. And Dave and Rico Jones are my guest. During the pandemic, it's not like you weren't busy. You went online and you did, virtual Zooms and performances.
Exactly.
Were you comfortable with that, or maybe you're more comfortable now with doing that?
as many other people had to do. I mean, I had no other choice, but I've grown to like it, and I've been doing some teaching online, which right. I'm really enjoying because you know I'm just home. I don't have to go anywhere, and as far as the Zoom performances, I'm enjoying that too. I mean, I'm not very savvy when it comes to computers and stuff like that. But once you figure out how to do it, or somebody helps you, I'm enjoying it. You can, it's a way to reach out to people all around the world, either through teaching or performing, and then. It's especially during a pandemic. It's sort of saved a lot of us because I mean, you know, when a catastrophe happens, you know, sometimes something good comes out, even though you don't want the catastrophe to happen.
Right.
But you know, it allowed me to sort of refocus on some musical things that I wanted. Like we were all so busy, and then all of a sudden there's no tours, no gigs, no nothing. So then, you know, I could practice some of the things I've been wanting to practice that were sort of just in notebooks on my shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, you know, it gave me a chance to practice and stuff like that.